Awesome.
Thanks, guys. Come here, man. Bless you, buddy. You got to like that guy right there.
I love you, Dad.
Hey, man. Hey, how's everybody doing? Woo! Great worship time, huh? That last song, we could have just kept singing that one like, till he comes. That song's going to always be true, huh? Wow. Hey, it's good to be here. Yeah, man, I'm still caught up with that last song. You got me up here quick, buddy. So, who's from all over? Like, you guys are from, who's not from this house right here? Who's not from this church? Like, you're the church, but you're not from this church. That's a bunch. So, anybody outside of Massachusetts that showed up? Are you all right? Yeah? From where at? Okay. Just glad you guys are here, man. When people come from all around, it's just humbling and it's awesome, and that's hunger, and I just think that's amazing. Listen, there's a lot goes through my heart during worship. My heart's usually exploding. I'm like, Lord, how are we going to say everything that's going on in my heart in a little bit of time? But I want to encourage you. My whole goal for traveling and doing what I do, my whole goal, like I don't have to be here. I just received his invite. I didn't come for an offering. I didn't talk to him about a penny. I'm not here for an honorarium. I'm here because I believe the gospel. I'm here because I believe the kingdom of God is really on the earth. And that Jesus paid a price to put his life on the inside of us. This gospel is way more than him just protecting us and blessing us and helping us get by. You got to be very careful you don't make this gospel something that it's really not. It's so easy to just turn the whole message of Jesus into something where God's going to take care of you instead of transform you and make you what he paid for, what he created you to be in the first place. See, what you got to understand is that life got manipulated and changed when man got separated from God. Life really got manipulated and changed. The wisdom of the world became our own wisdom. The book of Corinthians says that Christ Jesus is now the wisdom of God for us. So if I want to find wisdom, I have to look to the person of Jesus to find out who God is and how God's thinking. Yeah? See, we've all been so manipulated by separation from God. Every one of us in this sanctuary and everybody on this earth has been born into Adam. We were all born into Adam. We were trained by a lie. We were trained by self-centeredness. We were trained by fear because of self-centeredness. We were trained by a lot of things that have nothing to do with truth. Is that fair? So when you get born again, it has to be more than a transition of destination, of when the bell rings, at least I'm on the right team. Yeah, get real with me on this thing. Listen, I went to church like till I was 18 or 19. Nobody ever really made it plain to me. Now, that's probably because you guys weren't my pastors. But nobody ever made it plain to me. It was just always about needing forgiveness and making sure you make it to heaven. And at best, I was hoping I was forgiven. But I was the same young man. I had no ability to change. Nobody told me I could change. Everybody pretty much sent the message that I am who I am. He loves me anyway. So I was kind of mystified by that. I was like, well, why does he love me? And why does he want to forgive me? And why does he want me in heaven forever? I can't even relate to that. That sounds like a long time. And as a young man growing up, I wasn't inspired to go after God. I had more questions than I had understanding, because all that was ever told to me was, I messed up, I already knew that. We call that sin, I already knew that. And Jesus paid a price to forgive me of all my mess up. Okay, great. So now I pray this prayer, I'm still a mess up, I still got selfish motives, I'm still the same guy, at least I'm forgiven, hopefully, and at least I'm going to heaven when the bell rings. I don't know about you, but that's what I grew up with. And I quit going to church after I was about 18 or 19. By the time I was 20, I left for sure. I didn't go back to church. I just figured, hey, I'm old enough to make my own decisions. I don't have to listen to mom anymore. That's not cool, but that's what I thought. I thought I don't have to listen to mom anymore because she made me go to church my whole life. If she wasn't making me go to church, I wouldn't have went. Why? There was nothing there more to understand. Now I understand I am the church. I understand Jesus lives in me. I see what he paid for and why. I mean, the truth itself is enough inspiration to stay alive on the inside. Like the truth itself is, I don't have to stir myself up. I have to calm myself down to talk about it. Because this thing, I'm 26 years saved, and it's amazing when you see the truth and the truth makes you free. And all of a sudden you cross lines of no return, and all of a sudden, because of what you see and believe and understand, grace attaches to that. All of a sudden I'm different on the inside. And I'm changed. I'm not biting my lip to be better. I'm not biting my lip to be different. I'm not trying harder. I see different. I understand and I believe some things. And I want to talk about it tonight, if that's okay. I'm really impressed with all the young people I see. And no offense to us older folks. I like you all too. But I'm just impressed with the younger folks. And we're impressionable, be honest, when we're younger. There's a lot of things trying to get our time, our attention, our identity, our motive, our purpose. It's a critical age when you're young. There's a lot of directions. There's a lot of roads you can choose. As the time you get older, when you're more like me, you're kind of set in your ways. It could be just as hard to reach somebody like that, but you can get distracted and wrongly routed at a young age, for sure. You can find your identity. You can spend years just trying to find value from others towards yourself. You can find years just believing you don't even like yourself and just hoping other people do. And you can just spend years aimless and just trying to get by. And I'm just excited to see young people, because I'm going to preach something here. It's just stuff in my heart right now. And when you leave here, whether you believe it or not, you're going to think about it. Yeah? I'm telling you, the gospel is exciting. Like God put himself in a woman. Jesus let Holy Spirit plant him in the womb of a woman. That's astounding. If that's true, which I believe it is, that's way bigger than some Christmas story. Like God becoming flesh, putting himself in the womb of a woman, being born of a woman so he could pay the price for flesh, so he could fulfill what man failed. So in the meantime, he could, as he's living his life, he could model the Father and show us what life was intended to be like and look like. That's why he said, follow me. Yeah, he's firstborn among many. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. Sounds like a great invite back into purpose, the family of God and Christ in me, the hope of glory. Come on, this thing is not about getting by. This thing is about shining and living your life in Christ and having a viable relationship with him, understanding he absolutely forgave you of everything you've ever done and he put his life inside of you. Yeah? You waking up every day forgiven, not trying to be forgiven. Forgiven, unveiled, fellowship with God, accepted in the beloved, confidence through Christ. Yeah? That sure beats getting your feelings hurt, being insecure, having low esteem. Come on. Listen, we were all born into this thing, man, and it was all messed up. It's called Adam. We were born into separation from God. Every one of us that was born on this earth had no idea who we were from the time we were born. And your whole young life, you think you're getting an idea who you are. You're trying to find yourself, whether it's intentional or not. You're identifying your life along the way through your story, your parents, your childhood, certain traumas, people that did things they shouldn't, stuff we remember and talk about all the time. We kind of find our value and identity through the way life unfolded. That's why people cling to their past and their stories so much, because it's the only place they ever found any sense of identity. Yeah, so they say, you don't know what I've been through. Well, it was like this and this and this. That's why people write whole books on their whole story of growing up, but there's no redemptive ending. It's just, this is what I've been through. But you don't find truth through that. You find truth through Jesus. It's just amazing that God would send his son, that Jesus would come. It just fascinates me. It sounds bigger than inconvenience to me. Like Jesus is going to put on flesh and come in the likeness of sinful flesh, knowing he was going to be mistreated, knowing he was going to be tested by men, disagreed with by men, bickered and backbitten by men, and eventually beaten and crucified by men. I mean, he knew that, and he came. That's amazing. I don't know if we'd take a job if we knew we were going to be mistreated. Even if we were going to be paid good, I don't know if we'd take a job if we knew we were going to be mistreated. Yeah? I think some people are looking for new jobs because they're being mistreated. Oops. See, maybe we're missing this whole point. Maybe this fall of man thing is what really got us. Maybe being separate from God and being born into Adam and this self-centered thing, this self-focused thing, this me, myself, and I, and how I feel and what I want. Well, I don't appreciate. Well, I believe. Well, this is what I think. Maybe that has been a total lie from the get. Maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it's not about all that. Maybe it's about dying to all that. Maybe Matthew 16 is dead on because Jesus said it. Maybe if you come after him and you're going to follow him, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. You got to pick up your cross and you got to follow him. I don't know that we preach that today in a lot of churches. I think we preach if you don't know where you're going, if you die tonight, pray this prayer so you can be sure. I think we're preaching a lot of assurance, a lot of self-serving, beneficial messages that don't leave me changed. And all of a sudden, I got my destiny straightened out, but my heart's still a mess. Now my mind believes if I die, at least I'm covered, but I don't know how to love you. I don't know how to forgive you. I don't know how to be secure apart from you. And I might know how to be insecure because of you. So what have I got except for eternal destiny, eternal security, or whatever we call it in the church? Jesus did not come preaching a message like that. He preached a message that said, be born again, as if you never lived before. Die to the old so you can live to the new. Come out of darkness into the light. Yeah? This thing is hardly a prayer. A simple prayer that just says, hey, I receive you into my heart. This is an understanding that says, man, I've been living self-centered. I've been a God unto myself. I've been letting everything around me decide who I am and how I am. I've been letting how things are going decide who I am and how I am. I've been letting how people treat me decide who I am and how I am. And I need to die to all that. I need to find out who I really am. And I'm just going to say it plain to you tonight. There is no identity apart from Jesus Christ. There is no truth apart from Jesus Christ. He's not a way. He's the way. I find myself through him. I find my value through him. I find my purpose through him. I find my reason for being through him. Look, if he's the Lord God Almighty, if the red letters are really a big deal, if he was and is to come, if there's none besides him and he always was, right? And there's none greater. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. Then I bet he's a pretty big deal. And if we were created through him and by him, I bet he has an intention and a reason. And I bet if we don't connect with that intention or reason, we won't walk in the freedom that we could really walk in. I bet we won't walk in the grace that we can really walk in. I bet our life will seem more like a challenge than a blessing. See, people that say life's a grind or life's a struggle or life's a this or that or the other, and they fill in the blanks with a bleep and a blip, it's because they're living life outside of why they're here. Why would you be fueled with grace? Why would God fill your gas tank to travel roads you were never created to travel? Why would you be empowered to live what you were never created to live? See, this thing is more than a language. It's a transformation right here. And it's an understanding that comes out through your perspective and your eyes. So let's get with it. You ready? That was my intro. Every man on the earth can understand what I'm saying. From the time you were born, you needed loved, you needed valued, you needed support, you needed protected, you needed stability, you needed to at least believe somebody was there and cared. And a lot of us didn't have half of those things on that list. And at a very early age, in a very young age, we became nothing more than a product of what we've been through. And how we were and who we were was decided by that small journey. And the intention of the gospel, and the intention of that is that by the time the gospel comes, you're so hurt, so hard, so confused about God that you can't even hear the good news. That you're so overwhelmed by life that the giver of it has no voice anymore in your life. That's the strategy of sin. That's the strategy of darkness, to try to quench the light. But the light's greater than the darkness. But if you get your eyes on darkness and you focus there, it's amazing how things can only seem dark. That's how people get hopeless when he's the God of all hope. Are you with me? Sorry, I feel a little intense about this, man. People's lives are hanging in the balance over this stuff. Listen, we were born into Adam, and you must be born again. Why? Because the original desire of God is that we be filled with him and filled with who he is and walk in the truth of who he is. Man was always designed to walk in the light as he's in the light, to be one with him and him to be our father. Man was so estranged from God when Jesus was on the earth, people. I don't know if you pay attention to scripture like this, but like he mentioned that God was his father and they were so estranged from God. That was such a far out statement that was worthy of death. To suggest that God and intimately call him your father was worth killing you over. That's how estranged they were from God. So they're serving him in duty, they're serving him in the temple, they're serving him through law, but to suggest he's your father, and the word father there means come forth from. To suggest you came forth from him, which means who he is in you, that you're in his family line, was so blasphemous, it was worthy of death to suggest that. Ain't that something? In John 5, he healed on the Sabbath. That's not a good thing either when you're legalistic. He healed on the Sabbath, but then he said God's his father. They said, look, it's bad enough you healed on the Sabbath. Now you just said God's your father. Therefore, you're making yourself equal with him. All that means is you're saying you're in his family line. You came forth from him. His genes are in you. His DNA is in you. His destiny and purpose and will is in you. That's what you're saying when you're saying God's your father. You're not saying you're God, but you sure are saying you're his boy or girl. Woohoo! You get it? So when he said that, it was worthy of death. But isn't it amazing when they said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? What's the first thing out of his mouth? When you pray, pray saying. What's he doing? He's just sowing seed. He's setting a record straight. He's saying, look, I know you had a hard time with me saying that he's my father, but you need to realize something. He's your father too. I didn't come here to lord over you. I came here to be one with you. I came to draw you back home, to draw you back to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, and no one goes to heaven except by me. He said, no one comes back to the Father except through me. Which is an absolute passport to eternal life. Amen. But what's the goal of the cross? To get you back to the Father, to get you back in relationship, so that who the Father is can come inside of you. Please be very careful you don't turn the gospel into God just protecting you, taking care of you, providing for you, and blessing you. I'll be honest, I've been saved 26 years. I've never seen a Christian stay steadfast and constant in the faith when their only motive in Christianity was God protecting them, supplying for them, and taking care of them. Because life will distract you. All your prayers are driven by need. If something even looks nervous on the horizon, you're praying. And it's an absolute, I'm just going to say it, self-conscious, self-focused, self-centered place. And you're always stuck doing as good as circumstances are implying. You are not, nor ever, a Christian for your sake. And it grieves me that we preach so many just simply beneficial messages without the challenge of transformation. Will God load you with benefits? Will our God bless us? Is he good? You better believe it. But is that why we're Christian? Is that why we're little Christ-like ones, so he can be good? Church, he's going to be good because he's good. My goal is not striving for provision. He has given me the kingdom. I'm to seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, or not at all. I'm to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm to seek first his righteousness, the way he sees me, what he accomplished through the blood of Jesus. Why? Why do I seek his kingdom and his righteousness? Because his righteous judgment gives me the right to stand before him, gives me access to the kingdom, makes me see he is my father and I'll always be his son. This thing is relational and it's powerful and it's with purpose. Are you all with me? There's a reason I'm taking so long with this intro kind of thing here, because it still feel like I'm on my intro. But that's all right. I don't preach sermons. I just cry out my heart and I just talk. They give me a mic and I talk. And I try to relate with y'all. My intention is to relate because I know I growing up, I know these things in my life. Like, it was easy to go to church, but I was the same man inside. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't matter how hard I would try. I still was the same man inside. I can't try hard enough to change me on the inside. Or that's a self-made man. That man needs some kind of trophy. He needs some kind of glory. No, it's when I saw the truth that I changed on the inside. It's when I understood and the lights came on and the bells rang, ding, 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 yeah, whoa. All of a sudden I realized, let me just cut to the quick one. So I was never made for me. I was made for his image, his glory, his great name. Even when I didn't know him, he was still my father. He predestined me to be adopted as a son, as a daughter. Ephesians 1. He never lost sight of me. His love never failed on my darkest day. He knew who I was and what I was here for. When I had no clue who I was, he knew me. That's incredible. That's what empowered Jesus to come, the goodness and the love of God. He didn't come because, see, here's what we teach all the time. Bear with me. Don't judge me right away. Listen and hear me out. If you don't hear me out, you won't hear what I said because you'll go, right away. We always say he came because we're sinners. He came because we're sinners. That's all we ever preach. And that leaves us hopefully forgiven sinners. Wonder if he came to restore the purpose that was lost over humanity. Wonder if he came to actually get us back to the Father so his life could be inside of us. And of course, forgiveness of sins is necessary and applicable along the way. But wonder if it's more than me just being forgiven. Wonder if that's a starting point for relationship and transformation and a life lived by the Spirit. Yeah, I'll bet you. We always just leave people in the realm of sin. Sinner, 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 sinner. He didn't write to the sinners of Ephesus. He didn't write to the sinners of Colossae. He wrote to the saints. Why? Because the blood of Jesus speaks better things. You have to have an identity change when you're a Christian. You actually have to believe what the blood accomplished. If he said he accepted you, you don't live another day rejected. And you don't live another day striving for the acceptance of man. You live in the confidence of Christ. And that's not arrogance towards people. You just, nobody owes you anything. Nobody can fill the blanks. Nobody can meet your need, people. If you're in a relationship to get a need met, it's not I love you, it's I need you. That's why there's so much hurt in relationships. That's why there's so much pain in marriages. It's people trying to do each other, to get each other through and be for each other what they need. It's deception, man. It's teachings like that in the church that men are made a certain way and women are made a certain way. And you got to speak their language and you got to do for them and do. And then the spouse that isn't doing it, well, they ain't speaking my language. That's why I ain't doing good. And now it's the spouse's fault. Listen, friend, I did not wake up today for you to love me. I didn't wake up to need you. I woke up to be in love with Jesus and to shine, and I'm going to be your friend, and ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't hurt me. You can't shut me down. No, I promise. It's the truth. I've been living this way 26 years. My family doesn't owe me a thing. My wife doesn't owe me a thing, and that's why we have an incredible marriage that's called love. She can't hurt my feelings. I love her. I didn't wake up for her to say the right thing. Jesus said the right thing and I got free. Now I wake up and it's just fun to love her. Yay. You say, yeah, but Dan, you got to get real. It's marriage is give and take, 50-50. Maybe in your world, not in the kingdom. Marriage in my world is I love you. And if she's struggling, it's all the more reason to love her. If she says something out of character, which she doesn't, she loves me so much, it's so reciprocal. You know how God works? If we see his first love, guess what we do? If we see his first love, guess what our response is? We love him. Wonder if somebody sees your first genuine, absolute first love. Wonder if somebody knows they got something from you they absolutely didn't deserve or pay for. Wonder if you love your spouse through when they're going through a real hard time instead of calling a friend for prayer or counsel and say, if they don't break soon, I'm going to break. Wonder if you just love them and when they come to their senses, they realize you never changed. And all of a sudden they realize that they didn't look any different to love. Whew. I bet that's solid. I bet that's what Jesus did for you and me. I bet Jesus did that for you and me. Hello? Like, I'm not trying to humiliate you, but it's one of them duh moments, like, duh, right? Like, I'll bet you that's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. I bet in all our cycles and bad attitudes and saying we will and didn't, and saying we won't and did, I bet he stayed the same and love stayed pure and he just kept drawing us through his goodness. You see what's wrong with me? I understand why he came. I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. I got born again and his life came inside of me and I died to me so I could live in him. And now you don't owe me a thing and it's a powerful place, man. It's an untouchable place. The whole reason I'm alive is to shine and walk in love and live by the Spirit. Who can stop that but me? Oh, you're out of your mind. No, I'm probably just out of yours. If we take the gospel as personal, if we take people, we'd have been free a long time ago. Correct me if I'm wrong. I got a pastor sitting right in the front. You might even be a pastor. I never even asked. I figured you are. He's a good man, isn't he? I like him a lot. I got pastors in the front. Do I have any other leaders or ministers? Anybody that does any counseling? Who would agree that 90-some percent of our counseling appointments are people struggling with people? Is that a fair statement? It's a sure sign we don't understand the gospel. It's a sure sign we don't understand what loving not our own life unto death is all about. It doesn't mean we're not sincere. It means we don't understand. It doesn't mean we're hypocrites. It just means we don't see clear. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not the lack of sincerity. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. All of a sudden, the way that seemeth right to a man becomes our wisdom when we're born into the earth. And all of a sudden, it's our language. Yeah? And it's coupled with a whole bunch of feelings and a whole bunch of emotions and a whole bunch of reactions. And I promise you, when you have selfishness in your life and it hasn't been confronted by the gospel and hasn't been confronted in prayer when nobody's looking, which I'll talk more about this weekend, but self-centeredness just allowed to be there as if it's okay. That's where anger and frustration and disappointment and rebellion and hurt and brokenness and bitterness, it all lives in the foundation of self-centeredness. You take away self-centeredness and all those things die. Now, a lot of the church will fight me on this and say, oh, no, brother, we all have emotions. We just got to learn how to. No. He didn't say manage your anger. He said put it off. He didn't write a list of the flesh in Colossians and say find a healthy self-control and balance. He said put it all to death. How do I put those things to death without risking getting into works and failing? By changing the way I see. And where I live from, allowing this gospel to take the motive of self-centeredness out of me and seek ye first the kingdom of God. Watch this, and put my hand to the plow, whether anybody around me is running well or not, putting my hand to the plow and not looking back. The just shall live by faith. Broad is the way, and many are those who choose to travel there, but narrow and confined is the way to life, and few are those who seem to find it. Ain't that something? It's all in the book. I've been reading this book. It's amazing. It just answers everything. Takes away bad attitudes, takes away hurt and brokenness, brings freedom, brings life. All of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Jesus said that? They got him beat beyond description. They made plans behind the scenes. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver and went through one of his own men. And Jesus, the best he could say was forgive them. They don't know what they do. Powerful. That's not weak. That's not weakness. That's King Jesus. That's taking no account of a suffered wrong. That's love never failing. That's not taking life personal, taking the calling personal, taking the Father personal and manifesting the truth. That's called high integrity and high honor. That's not a doormat talking. That's not passive and a pushover. That's the King manifesting the kingdom. Man, he's the King. He is truly the King. You're going to beat him for being innocent and doing right till you can't recognize him and hang him naked on a cross to shame him. And the best he can say is forgive him. They don't understand. They don't see clear. If they really saw who they were, they wouldn't do this to me. Would you forgive him, Father? So I guess he is the light of the world. And I guess he has faith in bringing the light and illuminating the hearts of men. And if he be lifted up, he could draw all men unto him. I bet he ain't about taking offense, and he ain't about saying, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe all the good I did, and this is the way they want to treat me. Well, forget them then. If they want to do this, if they didn't change by now, I guess they ain't never going to change. See, that's the wisdom we were trained by. Self-centeredness understands that language. Heaven doesn't even know it, let alone teach it. Are you all with me? I found so many ways we live, act, and think that you can never find in Jesus. And I'm like, wait a minute. I bet we were taught by a lie. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. Time to come out of darkness into the light. Time to get renewed in the spirit of our mind, not be conformed to the world, transformed by getting renewed. What would it do for your life every day if you let Jesus be your model for life? You let Jesus be your true way, your truth. And you say, you know what? I'm going to go after following him. I'm going to go after following Jesus. I'm going to wake up every morning. I'm going to fill my heart with his words, his precepts. I'm going to go after him. You find yourself with nobody looking, nobody around. You just find yourself kneeling, and you just find yourself praying and asking Holy Spirit to empower you, to lead you through these scriptures, that today you just want to make him known and make him seen. Don't need a bullhorn. You have a life. It's the best message you'll ever preach is your life. Listen, you can stand in this pulpit and preach. If you can't walk in love, you're speaking empty words in a sense. The Bible says you can have every knowledge of all mysteries, all knowledge, all mysteries, all faith to move all mountains. If you don't have love, you've missed the whole point and got nothing. Come on, many of us are looking for all knowledge and all mysteries and all faith to move every mountain. That's a spiritual icon. He's on a Christian pedestal. He's the keynote speaker at every world conference. And the Bible says if he doesn't have love, he's missed the whole point. And all of a sudden, nobody's looking, and you're just on your knees, and you're saying, Lord, I just thank you for the honor of life today. Thank you that it's a gift, that the people around me and my sphere of influence and even my job is my mission field. God, what an honor. This thing is 24/7, full time. I deny myself. My day is not about me. It's about your great name. And I'm not going to sit here and cry and beg that everything goes cookie cutter, great and perfect. God, I pray that my day goes just like you, just like your love, just like your wisdom, just like your ways. And no matter what I'm faced with, and no matter what comes or goes, I just want to look like you would look if you were living inside of me, God. And I just thank you for teaching me love. I thank you my family owes me nothing. I am honored to live in this house and lay down my life. I am honored to be an example of Christ. I am honored to sow seeds into everybody's life around me. Help me with a godly attitude. Help me with a godly perspective. I yield myself to you. What a great day to be alive.
Wonder if you were talking to him like that when nobody was looking.
Woo! Instead of, oh man, 6:30, I sure didn't sleep good last night. Boy, I'm going to be tired, and I got a tough day and a lot on my plate. Oh, that's right, I got to work beside Johnny too. Oh God, please, if you don't give me grace, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And you call that prayer.
There's a little difference in those two examples.
See, one is totally self-centered, self-focused, and self-conscious, and all you're doing is going to God for what you can get from him. The other one is selfless, and you're going to God for who he is to be found inside of you. If the greatest of these is love, then we ought to all be pursuing love, friends. Not blessing. Not the answer to our last prayer. Let our greatest prayer be to be formed in love. Because if I don't have love, I've missed the whole point. And you know what love is? It doesn't seek its own. It takes no account. How much account? No account of a suffered wrong. Not a mishap, a suffered wrong. Well, friends, we've been busted up by each other. We got people inside the house mad at each other, mad at leadership, going to another church because of their mad. This ain't fair. Well, why'd you do it that way? Well, I don't see why, and how come I can't? Well, I've been here a lot longer. And all of a sudden, we're doing church and don't look nothing like her. And it's a dead giveaway that we really don't truly understand why he's inside of us. Come on, I'm here to challenge you tonight. I didn't drive all this way to soft pedal nothing. I'm saying it with a big smile, but I am so serious. If you and I fail to become love, we'll fail to step into everything he paid for. The cross of Christ is not fulfilled when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. The cross of Christ is fulfilled when a man's nature is restored back to love. That way, heaven is found on the earth. You don't look here, you don't look there, for the kingdom of God is in you.
Yeah. So go preach saying, the kingdom of God
is at hand.
Makes pretty much sense to me. Changed my life for 26 years. Been a happy fella. A lot of trials, just like you. People do unfair things, sometimes unfortunate things. Sometimes people really close to you surprise you and do things you never saw coming. But you know what's amazing? When deep in your heart, nobody owes you a thing, and you're never caught off guard by nothing, because the truth is what you live by. And all of a sudden, you don't find yourself getting hurt and trying to get over it, getting in unforgiveness and trying to get back into what we call forgiveness. All of a sudden, you just don't have a grid for the way you lived before because you realize it was self-centered. Now you're really following Jesus. So you ain't just singing to him. And you ain't just praying to him when you have needs. You're actually following him.
That's what Christianity is, people. The word Christianity, you know what it means? Little Christ-like ones. Ain't that something? Wow. So let's go after this thing. It was paid for, and it's the truth. This is why Jesus came and modeled this life that he modeled. He spoke for 3 years, 3 years. He didn't just come and die on the cross. If it was just about paying the price to forgive sin, he wouldn't have stayed 3 years and preached and preached and preached and modeled this thing and gave us an example to follow. He wouldn't have kept all that time unfold for people to betray him and do all the things they did. He built the trust of those men. Can you imagine those disciples following him around, experiencing Jesus like that? And then he's going to get killed, and they all say they'll die for him, and then when he's getting killed, they all run. They still weren't changed. They still loved their own life. They were still afraid of death. They couldn't see. Death owned them. The fear of death owned them, man. As high as they honored Jesus, as much as they loved him and swore they'd die, as soon as they were given the chance, they ran for their lives. You and I would have too. But I'll tell you what, after the encounter, after Jesus raised from the dead, after that mighty Holy Spirit came into them, they got beat and whipped for what they believed. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And they said, whether it's right to listen to you or to God, you need to be the judge, but we can't help but to speak of the things we've seen and heard. And all of a sudden, something happened to the fear of death. I found it in Hebrews 2. He's the captain of our salvation, and he has set us free from the fear of the bondage of death, who we had been held captive by our whole lifetime. Woo! Ain't that something? That's freedom, friend. When you're selfish, you're not free, believe me. And you're only doing as good as people are doing you. And your preferences is your Lord. And your mood, and your attitude, and your disposition, and your fruit is all determined by that messed up motive. Are you with me? You know them by their fruit. You can tell where a man lives from by how he lives, by how he walks through trials, by how he walks through challenges. Your fight is not the trouble that's going on in your life. It's not the people that are doing you wrong. Your fight is the good fight of faith. It's continuing to believe and not let what life is doing change your mind. Your fight is never growing weary in well-doing. Your fight is being treated wrong and not responding wrong. Your fight is suffering for doing good and just taking it patiently, 1 Peter 2, and being commendable to God. Are you with me? Your fight is not the trial. Your fight is walking in truth. Your fight is not the bully. Your fight is not the boss. Your fight is certainly not your spouse, your children, or your parents. Your fight is maintaining a perspective of faith in the midst of the trials and not letting anything change the truth. How's that for straight up? Come on, I'm just cheering you on. Can you see I drove up here just to cheer you on? I didn't come here to correct you, I promise you. I came here to stir you up and cheer you on and say, you know what? He believes our lives are worth this. He came and suffered the death he suffered to put this truth in front of all of us. That's seeing first love. So on my darkest day, when I had no clue who I was, he said, I haven't lost sight of you, boy. You're worth my blood. You're worth my spirit. You're worth my forgiveness. Sometimes in a false humility, we're running around like, we're so unworthy. I don't think he likes that. I think he likes when you understand you're worthy of what he paid for, not in an arrogant way, in a humble way, that the truth makes you worthy, that your purpose makes you worthy, that his your created value and what he intended you to makes you worthy. Come on, nobody buys a $10,000 car and says to the dealer, let me just write you a check for 16, man. I really want it. Nope, you blue book it, you look it over, and you even believe it's worth 10, and you still try to get him down to 8.5 and cover your taxes and transfer fees. And is that right? And then you come strutting home, man, I got that guy down so low. But the bottom line is, when you write the check, what do you believe? The purchased possession's well worth the price. He wrote the check for you and me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Watch this. This isn't hype. This isn't inspirational speaking. Same price on every head. Why? Same value on every life. Now you can't tell me that's been true growing up. There's hot shots and low life. There's high and low. There's mountain and gutter. There's people that have it and don't. There's people struggling with low esteem, trying to fit in. There's cliques. There's all kinds of stuff out there. There's prejudice, there's bias. When the rubber meets the road, the same price on every head. Why?
same value. Why? Because everybody can walk in the light. Everybody can walk in love. Everybody can live selfless. Everybody was made for his image, and we can all walk in it. And it costs the same to restore that truth for every person. Didn't take more blood for me than it took for Alex. I didn't need a quart, and he needed a couple drops, even though it seems that way. Just a couple drops, bud. Same blood for both lives. Why? Same purpose, walking in his image. You might never be a pastor. I'm not talking about that purpose. You may never be a missionary and go to another country. I'm not talking about that purpose. I'm talking about the purpose of walking in the light as he's in the light, and let your light so shine before men. Put off the old and put on the new. Be transformed, right? By that renewing of your mind. Colossians 3:10 in it. Putting off the old man and his deeds, putting on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to or in agreement with the very image of the one who created him. That's why you have the same price tag. Are you with me? So I guess it's your and my place to walk this out. Everything I just said, it's not an order call. I honestly don't believe we all need hands laid on us as much as we think. I think we need to rise up and be believers as we get understanding and be our best accountability partners and not need somebody to keep me on track, but say, you know what? I believe this, and faith will say so because I'm going to walk it out. It's not about perfection. It's about becoming. It's not about the fear of failure. It's about becoming. It's about getting on a journey and not looking back. Yeah? And saying, you know what? Whether anybody around me believes this, I believe I'm going to stand before him someday. Here's the essence of faith. Can I just kind of lay out the essence of faith for a believer? The essence of faith is you and I getting born again, understanding that every step and every breath is taking us closer to the day we stand before him and answer for how we lived this one God-given gift called life. And your answer to that is what's going to matter and speak for all eternity. Isn't that something? So I guess you and I have to make sure that we guard our own heart, because out of our heart flows the issues of life. I bet you and I have to challenge a bad attitude or a whatever moment. It's costing time that we don't have to give. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Awake you who sleep, and he'll give you light, right? You follow what we're saying here tonight? So I'm just holding you and calling you into this accountability of this beautiful life called life in Christ. If what you're thinking and how you're responding isn't producing life, then you can't be thinking in him. You don't need a reason to be discouraged. You don't have to think long enough to be disheartened. You don't need to build a case for an attitude that's not producing life. Come on, if Jesus did that, my goodness, he couldn't do that because he's love. That's what's amazing. Do you know Jesus raised the dead, right? Lazarus, he stopped the funeral of the little boy, right? The little girl. He raised the dead. You know Barabbas killed a man and caused conspiracy, Jesus trying to bring peace. You know what they did? They yelled out loud to Pilate, "Release Barabbas, kill him." Come on, if Jesus thought like we think, these bunch of idiots, are you kidding me? Why do I even do good for these people? I'm raising the dead, he's killing a man. I'm trying to bring peace, he's causing conspiracy. They want to release him and kill me? These people are nuts. If they didn't change after all I've done and said and healed and all this, if this is the way they are, I don't even know why we care. If they didn't change by now, they ain't never gonna change. Should have never let him hit me. I sure ain't dying for him. Come on, we'd have never made it that far. We'd have never made it that far, guys. Every day he was criticized. Every day they came at him. Every day they were fault-finding. Every day they were testing him. That's what it looks like in Scripture.
He just stayed the same.
Why? Because he's Jesus, because he's love. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I talk about it every week for the last 6 weeks. Probably 6 weeks, maybe not, but seems like about 6 weeks. The way time flies, maybe it's 8 weeks, maybe it's five. Don't quote me on it. But I've been saying this a lot because I've been thinking about this. After all these years of being saved, this is hitting me hard. Who knows God's almighty, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent? Who knows that song is an eternal song that we sang? That he's worthy. So who knows God is all those attributes and all those amazing things? Wonder if God was all those things but wasn't love. That would just blow up everything. All of a sudden, he'd have cliques, and all of a sudden, your personality might just rub him wrong. All of a sudden, you'd have fear and trembling. You couldn't even approach him because he just might not like you. All of a sudden, you'd live for him to like you at the risk of him not liking you. And you'd either be in or you'd be out. If God wasn't love, the whole thing would change. And just realize the thing that makes him so attractive isn't that he's all powerful. The thing that makes him so attractive isn't that he's almighty. Isn't that he's the rock that's higher than I. The thing that makes him so attractive is he's love. And it's what we were created for and what we lost when we got separated. Isn't that amazing? Like the fact that he's love changes everything. For God so loved the world. It didn't say for God was so frustrated and at wit's end with humanity, he sent his son hoping a few would respond. He so loved us. You take away the love of God, and he's not so attractive. He's just impressive, intimidating, and you better be on his side. And if not, you have no hope. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he is love. Watch this. Wonder if you take love out of the church. Then I guess she's doing something in a form that she's never representing. And I guess she's missing the most vital point of all. Because if you have not love, you got nothing. 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. Through a pure heart, a sincere, unfeigned faith, and a clear conscience. Well, a clear conscience is in the middle. A pure heart, a clear conscience, and an unfeigned childlike faith. You always see conscience attached to faith. If you have sincere, a pure conscience or a pure heart, your conscience won't be violated and faith will be strong. If you have a heart that's defiling your conscience, then your faith will get shipwrecked. They're always connected. Yeah? I just been thinking, I was sitting on my bed thinking for a long time about God not being love. And I know that sounds strange because he is love, but we better get that, because if we're not love, then we're missing the whole point because we'll never rightly represent him. Healing the sick's just not enough. Getting the prophetic word that's dead on, spot on, isn't enough. Having a word of knowledge isn't enough. You know, there's some people that have done some mighty things in God and through God. There's some people that have gone on trips and done mighty things and have had terrible endings and terrible stumbles along the way. Things that people won't forget. Even though they can be restored, but people won't forget. There's been great worship leaders that were gifted, great pastors that were gifted, that made sexual errors and sexual mistakes and all kinds of things. Yeah? I promise you this, church, becoming love will erase all those things. You stay in fellowship with God and you walk in love, you're not going to be on thin ice, I promise you. It says if you live by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's impossible to be in fellowship with God and have something like that go down. The only reason it happens is because you got away from your roots and got caught just doing ministry. needs to be forgiven. We need to forget more than we do and restore people. But I'm just telling you, don't think it ain't possible to live in righteousness. Don't you think Galatians 5 isn't possible? You can't even teach this stuff in church because people are so sin-driven and sin-conscious and so on the attack. It's almost like they want permission to wear the label sinner. Leaders and Christians, you're supposed to reckon yourself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure how you can, in a false humility, boast in your ability to sin and reckon yourself dead to it at the same time. I'm thinking it's not even supposed to be in your conversation. I'm thinking Christ in you is the hope of glory, not you doing better today. Are you guys okay? Y'all just kind of looking at him. Are you all right? I'm not talking in riddles, am I? I'm not talking in circles. You getting it? How much must God think of us? That no matter where we lived and what we've done, even at young ages, that he would keep this thing in place and send his son to pay the price of his life to get it back. How much value must we have in the eyes of our Father God? Don't you take that lightly. Don't miss that. Let the goodness of God lead you to change. You will never find fulfillment through another person. You'll find fulfillment through Jesus, and then you'll do justice to that other person. If you don't find fulfillment through Jesus, you'll never do justice to that other person. You'll just need them for what only Jesus can give you. But that's just straight talking it. I can say that with a smile and be gentle. It's just the way it is. Y'all good? I know it's not typical for a preacher/pastor guy to do this, but is there any questions as I'm talking? Is there anything somebody's going, yeah, but what about? Well, what did you mean by? I don't know. I don't usually do that, but I just feel like I need to ask that. Is there any questions based on the things I've shared so far that you have that relate to what I'm saying? Anybody? It just seemed like there had to be since it was pressing in my heart like that. No? It's okay. Questions are okay, you know. I actually still feel like there's somebody needs to ask a question. It's not a normal thing I do. It just feels like an impression. Y'all good? Wow, maybe I'm tricking you in the Holy Ghost. So if you have no questions and you're all saying you totally, thoroughly understand, I guess we can just break this football huddle and you can go live this thing and the whole world can turn around because Christ is in us. And your days of offense and anger and bitterness and frustration are going to be ended because you're putting it all on the altar of sacrifice tonight in your faith. Whoa. So nobody has a question like, how do I get there? How do I get to where you're living? What's up, man? You were what a lot? What would you say? About what? Okay. Well, the Bible says in James that God doesn't tempt any man. That a man's tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts, his own desires. When those desires are fulfilled, then there's sin takes place and death is a result. Here's the deal. There's things that have owned all of us. See, this is a good statement for everybody. Because everybody gets tempted with things. Everybody has flashbacks. Everybody has old things that try to rise up. Whoever just had a flashback of something you were sure you put away, and then all of a sudden you just have the ability to think about it. And you see what I'm saying? So it's trying to play on your own flesh desires. So if there's something you gave yourself to, there's something your flesh desires, then that thing comes to tempt you and pull away. God's not doing that. Why does it seem to come on stronger the more you want to get close to God, live the Christian life, go after Jesus? Because it doesn't want you to accomplish that, of course. So it's a real thing that we're dealing with. Our war's not flesh and blood. It's not people. And our fight is the good fight of faith. So here's the deal. What do? You spend time in relationship, fellowship, and communion with God. And when something like that comes into your life or that temptation, watch this. Ignore the temptation. Don't rebuke it. Don't renounce it. Don't put it on a platform. Don't give it a mic or it'll turn it on and preach, right? Just don't do any of that. As if you never heard the temptation. Totally ignore it. Father, I just so thank you for new life through Christ. I thank you for life in the Spirit. God, I so appreciate you working in me. And I just thank you how, God, you're teaching me how to sanctify and set apart my life for your glory. And anything that thing's trying to suggest, you go after the truth and you commune with God and let that thing actually help accomplish you in a deeper relationship and fellowship with the Lord. Why? Because deep in your heart, you are going after God. Deep in your heart, you do want to know him more. This temptation's coming to say, yeah, all right, man, you ain't even for real. Why don't you get a grip, man? You're doing one thing, doing the other, saying one thing, doing it. Next thing you know, you're condemned or you're beat up or your conscience is violated. Next thing you know, you're going through the motions, but you're over here doing this because you've devalued yourself through actions. It's a war that everybody at some level goes through. You follow me? Communion and fellowship and relationship with God, man. When that thing tries to pull you over here because you're sincere and you're telling me you want to know Jesus more, establish that relationship and use it as a springboard to do it. You with me? So watch this. You don't even need prayer. Prayer is never the answer for this thing. It's not even prayer. We just think everybody needs prayer for everything. Prayer's powerful. Prayer has its place in a lot of ways and things, but not in a situation like this. Truth is what will make you free in this situation. You can just call your buds and say, man, pray for me. I'm being tempted. No. Father, I thank you. My life is sanctified. God, I thank you. I'm wholly given. God, I so appreciate you, and I so want to live my life in the Spirit. And I thank you. There's nothing in the world that has a time or place in my life, God. I thank you. I'm crucified like Paul to the world and the world to me, and I'm alive in the Spirit. Continue, Holy Spirit, to show me how to love, to walk in truth, and to live by your grace and by your glory and by your wisdom. I so love you, King Jesus. You start responding like that every time temptation comes, dude, you're going to build your relationship with Jesus. It's going to get strong. Temptation will stop. Why? Because you're submitting to God, resisting the temptation, and it'll flee. You're not supposed to resist the temptation. It'll flee. You submit to God. Your submitting is your resisting. It's a one-step program. Y'all with me? Does that make sense? Come on. That should help a lot of us. Because, see, your mind is the battle, right? It's your mind. You're supposed to take every thought. It's 2 Corinthians 10. You take every thought captive that rises itself above the knowledge of God. It's the weapon of your warfare, casting down every thought, every imagination that rises above the knowledge of God. Who's ever been forgiven of something? You knew you were forgiven, and then the regret of that thing tried to crawl up on you, the memory, the picture, a dream. You're going to work in a flashback, and all of a sudden you see yourself doing what you wish you didn't do, and it makes you feel yucky, or you're trying to turn it off, or you wish you didn't remember. See, and then what happens is, when that happens to a sincere Christian, because they're not responding in a healthy way, their immediate reaction is to feel bad about what they're thinking because their heart is pure and they don't want that. But because they're thinking it, somehow they think they're still connected and they feel defiled or guilty or sinful when the whole time none of this is even in their heart or they wouldn't feel so bad. Are you with me? So we think just because we remember something, we're still attached to it. We don't have to forget everything we've ever done. We just have to stop believing it's us. So when the flashback comes, just worship Jesus and thank God your life's changed. You know, you were 14 and you put your little purity vow ring on in youth group one night and you were serious. And then you were 17 and something went the other way. And now you're 18 and you're back on track and now this thing just keeps coming back to you. No, as soon as it comes back, your heart's sorry inside. The reason you feel bad is because your heart's pure. Your heart's not impure. You wouldn't feel bad. You'd say, whatever, I'd do it again if I could. Listen, here's the thing that we don't understand. You can't condemn a person that doesn't have purity in their heart. Even condemnation needs a landing strip. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be condemned. You wouldn't care. You'd say, whatever. I've noticed some of the purest people I've ever met live in the most secret condemnation. because they never feel like they're living up to what they want in God. And then flashbacks and memories just eat them alive, temptations. They think just because they're tempted, they're sinning. They think something's impure in them because they're being tempted. Come on, Jesus was tempted at all points. There's nothing impure in Jesus. He's tempted at all points, yet without sin. Are you hearing me? Temptation isn't sin. It's when you're drawn away and you act on it. So if you're drawn away and you act on it by your own lust and desires, it's deal with lust and desire in prayer. Yeah? But man, worse yet, to go act on something and then 2 years later have a flashback or a dream and somehow relive the whole thing again? No, you should be rejoicing and freaking out and celebrating you're a brand new creature in Christ. That you are brand new. That you are sinless and spotless in the sight of God according to Colossians 1. Holy, blameless, and above reproach. His blood is speaking better things. You have made me clean. And you didn't just wash me positionally. You put a new heart in me. You put a new mind in me. You put a new desire in me. God, and it is my desire to live you, to be one with you, and to walk you out all the days of my life. And I thank you I don't have a yesterday. I have a present, and I have things to come. I worship you, God. Man, if we'd get aggressive and start believing the gospel, we wouldn't be calling our friends and asking for prayer all the time with a broken voice. I'm telling you, you're driving to work and you have the memory come to you on the way to work. Don't you go into work and people, what's wrong with you? You can, no, I'll be fine. I'll get by. No, you don't have a problem. You have a memory. You don't have a problem. You have a memory. Let the truth in your heart crush the memory. Let the memory that be its own worst enemy by reminding you of the present truth. So I'm sure I appreciated your question. See, I was saying somebody got a question when he shares it. Now look at that. This is an important topic for us. Right here is where the battle is in most every person. And feeling bad, you hear these phrases, well, I just feel bad. Feeling bad will never produce the righteousness of God, just like the wrath of man will never produce the righteousness of God. Godly sorrow should lead to repentance. Repentance should be a vindication of yourself, a clearing of yourself. Yeah? See, I act as skid out a lot. I don't have to do it tonight, but I act as skid out. I usually take somebody and put them on a chair, and I have the devil's like send a little one of his little workers over to him and like whisper to him and lie to him. Because we all hear this stuff. It comes out of the blue. Who's ever been in worship and you found something go through your mind that you were like, oh my, where did that, what? Be honest. Anybody? Was it anything you were intending? Did it surprise you? Were you wondering why now? How's this possible? Then we get real spiritual. How can this be allowed in the very presence of God? And if God is in me, maybe he's not in me. Maybe I'm not saved. Ah! And people get all analytical and they keep processing. Come on, be honest with me. Who's been in a worship service and some stupid is in your conscious awareness, you don't even know where it came from, it's just there, and it's trying to distract you, and then you think, we're just singing this amazing song, why is this in my mind? Let me see your hands again if you can relate to what I'm talking about. See, that's like unanimous. So this is not something new. This is a simple tactic of the devil to keep you self-conscious, problem-conscious, feel defiled, get condemned, be guilty, get analytical. How can I be having these thoughts when I must really need delivered? I must have something deep on the inside of me. For me to be standing in the presence of God singing that song and thinking this, I must be lost. You know what the intention of that thing is? To get you to believe all that stuff. Man, when that thing comes to your mind in the middle of worship, you know what you should be? Probably the wildest, most loudest, most expressive worshiper in the room. Without skipping a beat. Because that's touching wrong stuff right there. I wonder if you're standing there, you're worshiping, and that thing comes and you realize it. Rather than graying out and going, how come, what? I wonder if you just say, Father, I thank you. Father, I worship you. And that ain't even the song they're singing. But see, this is war now. You're fighting. And you ain't fighting no devil. You're fighting the good fight of faith. Woo! Father, I thank you. You've made me clean. See, I tell the story because it helps people. I was pastoring, leading a school of ministry class. I was teaching on some things, words of knowledge and healings and some components of some things. And I'm in the worship service before the teaching part. And I got students in the class. They're in there for months. And I'm standing there. It's my home church. And I'm standing there and I got a mic in my hand and I'm getting ready to get up. And, you know, I know we don't plan and program, you know, all the time. You know, sometimes Sunday morning we have a good idea how it's going to roll because of kids in church and children's church. But in those sessions, you know, you have a general idea. But I was around enough. I thought, you know, this is winding down. This is kind of peaked out, winding down. I'll be teaching in the next 2 minutes. Right then, this video came through my mind that I've only ever watched like that video. And it was not a good video. Y'all with me? It just showed up in my mind. I got a mic in my hand. Pastor Dan gonna teach the class. And I got a video going through my mind that ain't Jesus. Why? Why right then? Why right then? Why? Because that's in my heart. Because I was musing on that in the morning. Because I was meditating in the afternoon on it. I didn't even think about that video from the time. I couldn't even tell you when. But it was right there. Why? That thing wants me to turn inward, wants me to get condemned, wants me to crawl up and start crying and repent for something I'm not. Take responsibility for a memory. That worship service was awesome, man. My little worship team up here tonight, you know what I mean. It was one of them moments where some people stopped playing their instruments. In fact, the little key girl was the only one, and I don't know how she was doing it because she was little and she was down like this. And the guitar, when the guitar players put their guitars down, God is moving, man. They put them down because guitars are fun and the guys that play them love it, right? I'm not being cynical. But the guitar guys was then the drummers just sitting there. And she's just going like this, tink, tink, tink. And every time she goes tink, you're like, ah, tink, ah, Jesus. It was so good. And while they're doing that, I got this video pops up. And the room was holy. Like, it wasn't time to talk. Like, it's one of the moments where you don't know when to step in. You don't want to be irreverent. You don't want to be dishonoring to the Lord. We get in that sometimes where it's like, ooh, we just wait. And we're like, ooh, this ain't time to talk right now. God, you're doing something. Let me know when it's time to talk. Make sure it's good. I got something to say. I'm standing there. The room is hush. It was holy quiet. There's sobs, there's sighs, and all I have is the highest keys on a keyboard, tinkering. One little girl still got two fingers active, or one, probably one. And I get this video go through. Well, you should have seen it. That's warfare to me. That's like, don't even mess with me. I'm not getting condemned. I'm not going to take responsibility for a memory. That is not in my heart. That's not who I am. And I have zero desire to see that video. You can't tempt me with it. You could never make me watch it. You'd have to gouge my eyes out first. And I know all that. And you think I'm going to get condemned because that thing passed through my mind during an intimate, holy time of worship? It's on purpose. That's the strategy of hell itself. So guess what I did? I broke the atmosphere of silence. I scared people. It was the funniest thing. I told them about it later and used it as a teaching tool, but nobody knew what was going on. But because they loved me and respected me, after a while they thought, hey, this must be where God's taking this. And then they all started shouting and confessing, and the room went crazy loud. But it went from holy hush, afraid to talk, to Father, I thank you. And I'm talking, that's a very soft version of this story. I yelled at the top of my lungs, Father, I thank you. You have washed me. You have cleansed me. You have purified me through and through. The blood of Jesus has set me apart, sanctified me. You have washed me clean, God. And I just started to declare the power of the gospel over my life in the face of a memory. Father, I thank you. You've taken every desire that's illicit, everything outside of your kingdom. You've swallowed it up in your goodness. God, you filled me with your spirit. Ah! And people are looking around going, wow, this isn't where the atmosphere was. I don't think God was doing this. But I just kept going. It kept amplifying, and it was coming out of my heart, my understanding, my faith. All of a sudden, people were like, hey, this is powerful. Next thing you know, over here I hear, and over here I hear, Father, I thank you, God. You're the God of my righteousness. You're the God. And I'm like, woo. All of a sudden, the whole church, all because a video popped into my head. Now watch this. It toned down. It got kind of toned. I'm in a school of ministry. I'm supposed to teach on word of knowledge and some things. Toned down, toned down. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you. Spirit of God evident. Lady sitting about 2-3 rows back. I said, ma'am, you got a growth on the inside of your ankle. It's down around your ankle bone. It's a nodule. You've been concerned. It's pushing on something down there. Check it. You'll see it's gone. She just started squealing and crying. Man in the middle. Boom. Herniated disc in the back. The heat you feel right now. Boom. That's God here. It was just God just started to move. Watch. I don't know that any of that would have happened
if I didn't see that video. And we think the video is a problem. I think believing the video is the problem. I don't think I ever have a problem. I think I have an answer.
His name is Jesus. He happens to be my King. Are you with me? So I'm just encouraging you in some stuff. Because unanimously we raised our hands. So, that's right. We started at 6. I'm like, how can it only be 8:01? Wow. All right. I'll be gentle with y'all because we're coming back in the morning. But y'all getting something out of this? Yeah? Be your best accountability partner, okay? Honestly, I know sometimes you need somebody to cheer you on. I know with addictions and things, you need somebody sometime to walk real close with you. But if you just always believe you need somebody to check on you, you might want to check on yourself. And just say, wait a minute, what am I doing with my convictions? I'm not talking about substance abuse. If you got a thing like that, there's a time to hold somebody's hand and walk them through. I'm just talking about somebody needing to make sure you're on track. Hey, how you doing today? You be your own best accountability partner, would you? Your own best friend in Jesus next to the Holy Ghost. Because see, here's the key. You got to live with you. And only you really know you. You want to do that really well. So then when you look in the mirror, what you see, you really like. Yeah? Not because of people, because of Him. And your conscience is clear. There's nothing much more powerful than a clear conscience. You with me? It's very important when you look in that mirror, you see what Jesus sees. You see what He paid for and what He did. You don't see what somebody did to you. You don't see what it was like growing up. Yeah? And if that pops up, remember, we already gave you an answer. Bring that thing into obedience. And a little negative thought hits you and you're looking right in your eyes in the mirror. Father, thank you for loving that one right there. Giving them purpose and value and destiny. Ugh. You fist bump yourself in the mirror, it always works. He'll never play you. He'll never go behind his back. He'll never pull out right in the last second. It's always solid. And it's just perfect. It's like you know what each other's thinking and doing. You could even do one of them fancy handshakes. It'll be perfect in the mirror. So go for it. When I was young in the Lord, I don't do it anymore. I used to intentionally look in the mirror. And I just talk myself into believing Jesus. I'd walk right up to the mirror. Hey, man, you are so loved by God. Wow, you're believing that. I can see that in your countenance. And I would just talk to my own soul. You know He really loves you. Wow, you do know that, don't you? I see Him in you, man. I can see it in the light of your face like Jesus is in you, man. And I would just cheer myself on in the Lord. I remember full-length mirroring it already, heading out the, just stopped going, what? Are you kidding me? Get real close to my face. Dude, you're walking in righteousness. You understand the Spirit of God's in you. Man, what I see ain't arrogant, but it is super confident. You know He loves you, don't you? Wow. Dude, you're going to have an amazing day today. I don't even know why you're standing here. People need what I see in you. Now, who knows I'm not going to do that all by myself and not be sincere? Who knows I'm not going to do that and walk out of the room and then say, he said what? She said what? Well, that hurt. Well, I don't know how come. Well, why do you? You get it? So I don't do it anymore. Every once in a while, all I do every once in a while is I catch my eyes in the rearview mirror in traffic or something, or I'm looking behind me and I'll catch my own eyes because of the way I have it set. Every once in a while, it's not often, but every once in a while I'll see my, I'll go, oh, I see you. And he loves that. Like the presence of Jesus just comes into my little truck when I do that. He just likes that. I'll be just driving, oh, hey. And he just likes it. The reason all this stuff's important, if you're not living this way, you won't realize what you have to give. You'll stay in a level of need. You probably won't walk in the light as he's in the light. That's why I camp in these things. That's why I talk about these things every time people hand me a microphone. If you don't live this way, you won't even believe you have much to give. When I get on an airplane, if I'm bothered by all this other stuff, I don't even realize who's sitting beside me. I just can't wait to be quiet. If I'm walking into a mall and I'm carrying a load of stuff and unresolved conflicts and issues from the house, I probably miss the man that just walked by me that Jesus wanted to give one line to. Are you with me? It's not condemning. It's just purpose. If I don't see who I am in him every day, I won't see them real clear either. I love God with everything I am, my heart, my soul, and my strength, and I love my neighbor as myself. If I don't have a good view of me, I don't have a good view of my neighbor, because I love my neighbor as myself. Are you with me? This is important stuff. You know why I talk like this all the time? So we don't learn how to do church and never become her. So like when you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. When you squeeze a Christian, you should get Jesus. Not, ah! So I'm not picking a fight. I'm not being arrogant. I've been doing this for a little bit. Go ahead and squeeze me. He's all we have to give. Are you with me? We'll pray something over you, and then we're going to do something, and we'll be out of here in pretty decent time. You okay with that? I'm actually really early, it seems, but we started at 6. So it's not all that impressive. I preach a long time, but I feel like I said plenty tonight. We'll be back in the morning anyway. Can I pray something over you, and then we'll do one more thing? Father, I just thank you for tonight. I'm just asking grace on every person. I'm asking grace to walk in these things, to believe these truths, and to become everything that you paid for. Lord God, I'm asking you by the power of Holy Spirit that you would bring these things, these critical points tonight for each person individually to their remembrance in every time of need. Don't let any person here just live seemingly blinded and just not see this stuff. But God, if this arises and these things start happening, let them always see an answer, a higher way. Let them see they have choices. They got light. They got truth. They got an answer in God. I'm praying, Lord, we're way more sensitive to the truth. And most of all, that relationship with you and communion with you, like my answer for the young man over there, would be all of our answer. That growing in you and getting to know you more and being personal with you would be the priority of our life. So I just thank you that everyone realizes they're qualified. They're not only invited in, you're here to be their father. So God, I'm asking that intimacy and purpose and relationship would be deeper and even stronger than ever before. I thank you for these things. If there's a marriage in here struggling, God, please let the message tonight be enough for them to both just start afresh and say, what were we thinking? Let's get back to the kingdom. I thank you. It's not tit for tat. He said, she said, well, I feel and I think. I thank you. It's really all about you. Thanks for making wrong things right. Thanks for making it simple. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ah, yeah. Okay. We'll do this. I do this because I want to, It's not like the Lord's saying, do this. Sometimes he lets you do things that you want to. But I'd say it's kind of like an agreement, but he'll show up. You'll see he likes what we're about to do. But it's probably the most planned thing that I do when I travel, because I don't really do any planned things. But what I want to do is pray for the sick, if that's okay. And I think it would be important and beneficial, and we'll do it as a little training curve as well. Is that good? To pray for the sick. So we're going to close this service out praying for the sick. It'll be fun. Because Jesus is here. And when I read my Bible, he is definitely a healer. And I know we're a little confused by that sometimes. I know we've all prayed for people. My own mama died of sickness. I did my mama's funeral. And we've lost some people. We've allowed our losses to change our beliefs. We've allowed our losses to be more important than Jesus' life, word, example. We've allowed sentiment to override our understanding. The passing of my mother is no challenge to the life and words of Jesus. Actually, the passing of my mother is a challenge to me because of the life and words of Jesus. That, you know what, I'm not going to cop an opinion. I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going after God, and I'm not going to take things personal except him. So when you see me preach, you can't tell my mama died of sickness, right? When you see me preach, you can't tell my dad was an alcoholic and never said I love you to this day. You can't see that my wife was in identity crisis for about 8 years as I was pastoring, and both my kids made some terrible decisions. Everybody's doing great now. But when you see me, you can't see any of that. What you see is a passion and a belief and a sincerity towards Jesus' life and truth. And the reason is because of all those things. Because that's where he's Lord. And if I'm only a Christian so those things never happen, then I'm in trouble when they happen. If I'm a Christian to be like Jesus when those things happen, then I'm doing all right. Are you with me? So we're going to pray for the sick tonight. This is the number one thing I've learned in all my years of being around folks and Christians in rooms like this. The number one reason, probably the strong number two reason, is just a lack of understanding on belief of God's will concerning healing. But the number one reason I've found to be that people don't pray for the sick on a regular basis or make it a point to pray for the sick in their personal lives is because they're afraid nothing will happen when they pray. That's what I've found. So then what else I've found is, so the number one thing they have all the time is what they fear. Nothing. Because they're not putting themselves in a position for anything to happen concerning healing. So these signs follow those that believe. So it's very important that we search this out and become believers in this area, because if these signs will follow those that believe, they forget the healing for just a second. The first sign of a believer is they will lay their hands on the sick. We get so caught up in the doctrine of healing, we pull our hand back. Are you all with me? The number two thing the Lord showed me to share in a setting like this is that when we pray for the sick, who's ever prayed for the sick in the room? Anybody here? Yeah? Good. Who noticed this? That when you go to pray for the sick, you get self-conscious without realizing it, and you put more of a focus on what you say, what you're going to pray. You try to pray right, powerful, and anointed, and you hope your prayer works. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is this okay if we're just honest? Super self-conscious when we pray. Like we're trying to, like we should all go to prayer school probably, huh? No, here's the relief. It's not your prayer that heals anyone. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's your faith in what he accomplished. It's his finished work. It's his finished work. And it's his love for the person and you understanding what he paid for through Jesus. Watch this. Be made whole in Jesus' name is probably plenty if there's a revelation coming from behind it. Praying a two-minute eloquent prayer might not mean anything except you're putting your faith in your ability to pray. Whoever felt like they prayed the perfect prayer and they still just never seen nothing change and nobody around. I promise you this, I'm being your friend right now, okay? Your prayer will never heal anybody. Whoa, yay.
That's a relief. Because if the pressure's on me to pray right, I better get it right.
The pressure's on me, and it's no pressure. The privilege is on me to believe right. You watch what happens in this little room tonight.
Jesus is coming in here. He's already here, but he's going to do some cool things. It'll be fun.
He will.
And you know why I'm not under pressure? Because I don't do it.
So we're not putting our power and our faith and our ability to pray, but what he accomplished on the cross. One thing that's imperative about healing or anything you pray for, faith worketh through love. People, we've all got to grow in this and understand God loves me. God loves you, period. How do I know that, Dan? Watch. Because he sent his son. Because Christ was crucified. That's the only measuring stick you're ever going to need. That's the only evidence of God's love. You don't weigh God's love against your circumstances. You don't challenge God's love against your mama passing. You don't challenge God's love because of a car wreck and a layoff all in the same week. God's love is settled because Christ was crucified. And if that wasn't true, you could never get rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Yeah? And love never fails, and faith worketh through love. So it's imperative that all of us individually understand, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's going on in my body, no matter how long it's been, God loves me or he'd have never sent his son. A survival-driven Christian doesn't understand that. They're questioning God. They're not praying in faith. They're in despair. And there's no authority or confidence in their life. Are you following me? I've seen the latter, unfortunately, way more than I've seen what we're called to. So we're going to pray for the sick tonight. There's two things you'll run into, a whole lot of different sicknesses, ailments, names, definitions out there, a whole lot of stuff. But you'll see two things. You'll see people that if they were healed, they'll know it. They'll know it because of their body, without exaggeration, without a worship team, without playing their favorite song. They'll just know that, hey, I could not lift my arm. My arm went up this high for the last 2 years, and what? I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? There's other people that say they get migraines once every 7 to 10 days, but they don't have one right now. Same faith, same finished work, same belief. The one, you just have to release them in faith and believe that that migraine will never come back, and absolutely believe that in your heart. Encourage them in that truth. This one, find out what they can and can't do. You don't necessarily have to go into those details on the streets when I pray for people in public. I don't go into a whole lot of those details. I just find out what's going on and I pray. But I always ask them to go ahead and check it. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of getting them to check it. I'm afraid of never stepping out and not sowing a seed. If love never fails, why would I ever fail to love? Are you with me? If we put nothing in the ground, why are we expecting such a harvest? If you never go out and plow the ground and put seed in it, why are you expecting a big crop? Watch this. The more people we lay hands on, the more things we'll see as the body of Christ. You say, yeah, but wonder if they don't get healed. It's never like that. They're not expecting to get healed in the first place. They're actually wondering why you want to pray for them most of the time. They're actually looking at you like, I guess I'll let you. The only time they're really captured is if you tell them what happened or what's wrong with them before they told you. That gets their attention. But if you just see them hurting and you said, hey, man, you look like you're really struggling getting to the car. Can I just pray for you? Is that in your hips? What is that? Oh, yeah. They said my hip socket's wearing down. They got it. They want to do a replacement. Listen, man. You got nothing to lose, all right? Please don't say no. What do you ask? What? No, please, just don't say no. Man, let me pray for you. Ah, I don't know. Listen, man, 5-7 seconds, and I'll head to my car, please. I would never ask you this if I already knew nothing would happen. Because I ain't selling you nothing, and you may never see me again. I just want the honor because I'm seeing God really move, and I'm excited. You mean you've seen God like what? Listen, man, let's just pray. Can we do it? Bam, you pray. Our worst fear is that his hip still bothers. My worst fear is that I never sow that seed and release the kingdom into his life. Are you following me? Because I won't turn faith into a point in time. I won't say maybe he will, maybe he won't. I'm not running a risk of losing. I've already won. Christ is in me. I'm going to pray for the man. So wonder if he says, I say, check your hip for me. Do something. It still hurts a little. Well, listen, man, I so appreciate you being humble enough to let me in and pray when you didn't even really know anything about that. Here's the deal. The kingdom of God is if a man scatters a seed. Bible says, if I lay hands on the sick believing, he'll recover. You check that hip. You think about the Lord today touching you. You get out of your car. You check it. You get home tonight. You get to your porch or your steps. You check it. You just keep thinking about your hip and what God's doing. He's so good. You see what I'm setting him up for? Woo! What happens if his hip changes? What's he going to think of right away? He's not going to think coincidence. You say, yeah, but wonder if his hip doesn't change. Well, he's going to know that it was a sincere man that stopped him with no string attached, didn't try to sell him anything or corner him into a prayer, and went on his way and is sincerely believing for him. It keeps faith alive. Are you following me? Because I explain to him, I come in real low and humble, and I don't say, oh, I've seen thousands of people healed, hundreds of people healed. I don't come in like that. I say, man, I'm learning and growing. And I feel like I'm on to something, and I'm very excited. Would you give me opportunity to pray for you? The possibilities of God are incredible. And almost always they say, okay.
It's perfect.
Pray 5-6 seconds. Don't exasperate them. Don't make them feel uncomfortable. You're there to bless them.
Don't, for the Lord God says, and get a King James voice and prophesy for 3 minutes and then pray into all their generations.
I know every once in a while God shows up and takes over some things, but probably on that street corner when that man's already feeling a little freaked out that you're praying for him in public, be gentle.
If God said, let there be light, and light came, I bet you can say, hip be whole, be restored, no more pain in Jesus' name. Bam. You could probably do it with your hand in your pocket and not be disrespectful to God and act like you're just talking to him so nobody even knows what you're doing just to make him feel comfortable. I've gone that far. I'd say, listen, if you're going to be uncomfortable, listen, I realize you're the manager and this has some, but listen, we're talking right now and nobody even has a clue what we're talking about. So Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name. And I've seen people absolutely healed in public, never took my hand out of my pocket. Nobody even knew we were praying. It's faith. And it's knowing he loves that person, period. It ain't because I prayed right. It's not because I'm Pastor Dan.
Whatever. It's because Jesus is Lord and God is really, really good.
So we probably ought to let him have every chance to be really, really good.
So let's get our hands on the sick all the time. What do you say?
Yeah, especially if you're nervous, especially if you're shy. Be a Christian Nike commercial and just do it. So there's two groups, people that know, people that won't know.
Who in here, you have a sickness, you have a symptom in your body or a situation in your body through x-ray, blood work, internal. And if you were healed right now, there'd just be no way to validly say you were healed except for faith in your heart. You have a condition that you just wouldn't know symptomatically. It's like a hidden condition. Let me see your hands. Stick them up so I can see who you are.
If you can, would you stand to your feet?
Well, you can because it's not symptomatic. Stand to your feet.
Yeah, sure you can.
Okay, church, look around. I want you to get your eyes on somebody. If you're sitting near them, just say, hey, man, do you mind if I grab your hand? Are we allowed to do that up here with the whole COVID thing? Can we grab hands or something? Yeah, because you grab my hand, you ain't getting COVID. I promise you. I'm just telling you.
I've been in like 28 states in the last year and hugged 10,000 people, and I'm doing really good, I promise. Yeah.
So here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray for you. You wouldn't know if you were healed except for simple faith in your heart anyway. So we're just going to believe. So this is a simple, beautiful, sincere faith thing right here. Here's what I want you to do if you stood up. I don't want you to just put all your hope in that symptom never coming back. I want you to know that God loves you or he'd have never sent his son. Would you set your heart on that if you're standing? Would you believe that with me tonight that God has to love me? Or he'd have never sent his son. The people that are near him, that got a hold of him or touch him, all I want you to do right now is, I don't even want the people standing to pray. Just know God loves you or he'd have never sent his son. The people that joined with him, just agree and I'll agree with you on this one. Just say, be whole in Jesus' name. Yeah. No more symptoms. No more pain. No more sickness. In Jesus' name. Because Father loves you. Amen. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, that these people will be able to testify in due time, whatever that means for their situation, and say, my goodness, it all changed on that night when simple faith wrapped around your absolute love and touched my life. God, thank you for what you've done. Father, I thank you. That's the testimony of the people that stood. And I thank you. Time will surely tell in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can grab your seats. So that was our first group. I did it simple, but I promise you it's not ineffective. It's a beautiful thing. Do you see how simple that was? So if you're in a grocery line, you ever hear somebody talking about migraines and so glad they don't have one today? And you ever hear people talking about their stuff like that? Man, when they're all finished, just tap them. Just say, hey, couldn't help but to hear what you just told that gentleman. Man, I'm sorry that's been happening. That sounds like it's, oh, yeah, they just paralyzed me. Now they're ready to go into the whole story again with you, right? You say, well, listen, we're getting close to the line. I don't want to embarrass you, but this is amazing. I heard you say that, and I'm growing in something that really is exciting and convicting to my heart. I want to pray for you. Please don't. Please just let me. Don't say no. I always say, please don't say no. I say, let me just pray for you. I say, I just want to believe that, and you don't got to do nothing. Just let me pray and agree that you'll never have another migraine, and I might not even see you again. But I'll tell you what, that's going to be so powerful. If we believe and you don't ever have a migraine, the first thing you'll think about is this, and you'll think about him, the Lord. Isn't that true? So that's sowing a seed. Man, you could do that right in the grocery line. You're not even up front yet. You two do that, nobody else even realizes what you did. You release faith, you genuinely love somebody, and you go to your car, and it's just the best thing ever, just loving on people. Yeah? So, okay, who in this room... And I know we got a lot of young folks, but sometimes you got things going on. People are born with stuff. You got, you know, injuries that didn't heal right. You got sports injuries. You got all kinds of stuff. But who in this room, you have something going on in your body that's less than wholeness, whether it's injury, sickness. But if you were healed, you would absolutely know it without exaggeration, because we're not going to have any music. I'm going to make the room as dry as we can tonight. Oh, I am. Gonna make it as dry as we can, because it ain't about atmosphere tonight. It's just about simple finished work. He loves us and he's here. So who here, if you were healed, you would absolutely know it without exaggeration, because you'd be able to check on it symptomatically and your body would tell you whether you're healed or not. Let me see your hands. Okay. Can you stand up for me if you can? Do you want us to pray with you, sir, tonight? You want us? Okay. We have a gentleman over here on the corner. And I want somebody in a minute to help me with that. Say, okay, do we have everybody? I just feel like there's a couple people holding out on me. Just please get involved. Don't come this far and not go all the way. Yeah, thank you. I got some people holding out on me. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a real good fisherman. No, I'm really good. Ask the fish. No. Thanks, honey, for standing up. Anybody else? You're still sitting and you should be up. You have something that's less than wholeness and you would know it in your body. This isn't really a word of knowledge. This is just like a little impression. Like, what about arthritis? Is there somebody here? You got arthritis in joints, a hip, in your joints, and you didn't stand, but you know it's there. Thank you. That was you? Thank you. Anybody else? Still feel like I got two more holding out on me with arthritis symptoms. You got arthritis. Somebody I'm seeing even in your neck. It's like stiff in your neck. Yeah? Is that you? Thanks, buddy. Don't make me go fishing. I slay fish, man. No, here's the cool thing. Thank you, ma'am. I saw you stand up back there. So watch this. Did we have plenty of people to pray for before? Plenty of people. Why am I waiting? Why am I hearing this stuff? Because he wants everybody involved. He wants you up. Why? Because it's real. Because Jesus is here and he's going to do stuff. And he's just calling us all out. So I think it's beautiful, as young as you are, that he's showing me arthritis. And I've said this wasn't a word of knowledge, but once I spoke it, started to feel like a word of knowledge. And then I even heard specifically the neck area. He jumps right up. Why? That's his thing, which isn't his thing.
Yay.
So I'm so glad you stood up.
Watch what happens in your neck, dude. Yeah, I'm just glad you stood up.
So, yeah. Anybody else need to stand? And don't test the Lord. Don't sit there and say, well, if he calls my thing out, I'll stand up. No, it's called ask and it shall be given. Thank you. Thank you. You see how precious this is? Thank you. You see how many people weren't up that should have been up? Like, I cast a line, buddy, and we filled the whole live well. Like, probably 12 people got up since I said, please, I don't have everybody. Good. Now I feel good in my heart. I feel like we can move forward. Thank you, all of you that stood up last minute like that. Thank you. See, sometimes this is an end of a service thing to us, or we've been prayed for and didn't see nothing happen, and we're like, man, I ain't doing that anymore. Or we just think, I'm just in faith. I don't want to stand up, but it's good. It says, is any among you sick? Let them ask. It says, have the elders of the church anoint them with oil, praying over them, the prayer of faith. Now, that's like your personal privilege to go find growing believers, maturing ones in the Lord. It doesn't mean the office of elder. You can hold the office of elder and go to a church that doesn't even believe God heals. He's talking about those growing and maturing in the Lord. And the prayer of faith, they'll pray over them, the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith, what? Will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed any sin, guess what will happen to that?
It'll be forgiven.
It's James 5. So incredible. Okay, we got you up. I'm glad. So here's what we're going to do. Now, y'all didn't know this, and I know this is rare. I talked with Alex about this, because we have trained ministry teams, we have prayer teams, and it's all good. It's really good, especially for Sundays. This is all about training and equipping. Now, watch. We don't know where y'all are from. We don't know what y'all are into. We don't know all your background. So it's very rare to give this opportunity. But here's what I want you to do. I want you, everybody that's standing, just put one hand up. It doesn't mean you're worshiping. You're just being identified. You're not getting lost in the crowd. The people sitting, especially if you're uncomfortable and nervous, I want you on my team. If you're sitting, I want you to be one of my prayer helpers. And don't go pray for them yet. Just go find somebody and smile, even if you're uncomfortable, and say, hey, I've never done this before. But go find somebody. Go stand with somebody, preferably somebody you don't even know. Just be bold tonight. We got plenty of people sitting to cover the people standing, which is a blessing. Normally, it's a close call, or we got more people standing than we got sitting. Go find somebody one-on-one till we get everybody. Put your hand down when they claim you. If somebody claimed you, put your hand down. Only keep your hand up if you're waiting for someone. Yeah, I got the gentleman and the lady. Y'all got them? Okay, don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. We're going to do this together. I got a lady back there. She's still got her hand up. You got her? Woo-hoo! Ooh, you're in trouble. Look at the Jesus in that girl. Yay. Okay, you guys got your people? Everybody covered? Go like this if you don't have somebody. Yo, we still got a man in the back there. He's waiting. There's a glare, but I think, yeah, it's a gentleman back there. Can somebody go stand with that gentleman back there? You got him? Woo-hoo. We got everybody covered? Okay, here's the deal. Well, take 3 seconds and just ask them why they stood up, what they're believing for. It's a symptomatic thing. So just give them the three-second version. Three-second version. Tell them what it is. Y'all got it? Y'all good? Should be good. I know sometimes it takes more than 3 seconds to explain, but be as brief as you can. Y'all ready? Y'all good? Okay. Now here's what we're going to do. The reason I had you ask, it's Matthew 17, and it was concerning healing because it was the epileptic boy situation. Watch. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, truly I tell you this. Truly, that means you better bank on it, right? Truly I tell you this, most assuredly I tell you this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will what? Okay, that's why I had you ask, because here's what I want you to do tonight. I don't want you to bring in your past ministry training, and I'm not against it. I just don't know what it was. And we're in this house. I want you to honor this house. I don't want you prophesying. I'm not controlling Holy Spirit. I promise. Just doing things in order. You don't need a word of knowledge. You already know what's wrong. All I want you doing tonight, because we're letting class participation, it's to empower you and encourage you. And you watch how beautiful this is. Jesus likes this, that you all stood up and that you all ran to him. I promise you, he likes this. Here's what I'm going to do. Since your prayer doesn't heal anybody, and since we're not bringing in our past ministry training or the church we came from strategies, we're just going to pray 5 to for 6 simple seconds and let faith say to the mountain. We're all going to do it together. Then we're going to see what God did. So it looks something like this for the arthritis situation I shared, and some people stood up. Watch. Arthritis, you leave. Every pain, every stiffness, you go. Be whole in Jesus' name. I actually took my time with that and probably didn't exceed 5 seconds. Are you with me? Arthritis, you leave and never come back in Jesus' name. All pain go. Herniated disc, be healed. Knees, be regenerated and restored in Jesus' name. Shoulders, be completely healed. Who sees what I'm saying? Simple, to the point, no faith in your prayer, faith in his finished work. You get what I'm saying? So you're just acknowledging what you believe about his will towards them through the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that fair? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do that in a second. I'm going to say, okay, guys, pray 5-6 seconds. And at the end of 5-6 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up in Jesus' name. And I usually acknowledge God's love for people just because I think we ought to understand he loves us a whole lot more. And then what I want you to do, if you're being prayed for tonight, while they're praying, I don't want you gritting your teeth and shaking and calling it receiving. I want you to just be humbled by the fact that he has to love me. No matter how long I've been sick, no matter how bad it's been, no matter what's going on in my life, he has to love me. You have to love me, Lord, or you never sent your son. I want you to camp there. Will you? And the person praying for you understands that. So it's faith working through love. Simple, sincere, 5-second prayer. I want you to acknowledge he loves you or you never sent a son. And then with no music, no hype, and no exaggeration, I want you guys to begin to check your bodies, whatever that means. And really check them, like really check them. Don't look at the big brown eyes of the young girl that prayed for you and think, I can't tell them I still have pain. They'll be so disappointed. Oh, I feel good. That's called lying. That is not our goal here tonight. Our goal is that you're made whole. All right? So here's the deal. We're going to check our bodies after we pray. When you know your body changed and you're sure because you've done what you need to do, then you let me know, okay? At some point, we'll probably take a couple testimonies, and here's why. One, just to give glory and thanks to God and understand what he's doing. But if your body is somewhat healed and not all the way, you tell your person, man, I think I'm 50% better. Or, wow, I'm like 70% pain-free right now. And it was, man, it was an 8, and it's like a 2 or 3. Tell your person, pray 5 more seconds, the same prayer. When you shift prayers, sometimes you're grabbing for straws. It ain't cool. Same prayer. If your body didn't change, this is important. If your body didn't change after we prayed those 5 seconds, please do not disconnect. Stay engaged. Believe he loves you. Don't go, boy, see, this is why I didn't want to stand up because this happens to me and there's other people getting healed and I'm the one that stands. It feels like sometimes I'm the only one that is. Or I wonder what I'm doing wrong. Something's got to be blocking my healing. Don't do that. No permission ever to do that. I don't want you to disconnect tonight. I want you to listen to a couple testimonies. Thank God in your heart that he's a healer and what he's doing in the room, that it's awesome, and thank him for loving you, and I so appreciate what you're doing in my body, and check your body again. Hear a testimony, check your body again. Stay thankful and stay connected. Cut this thing off that gets analytical and stay connected. You watch what happens in the room. Like popcorn in a bag, healings just keep happening. We're not going to let go tonight. Are you with me? Are you all ready? So look at your person real warm-hearted and real fuzzy-eyed, like you're so special. Make them really, no, I'm just having fun. Y'all remember what you're praying for? You didn't forget because I talked so long. Y'all remember? Okay. So I'm not going to pray over top you. It's you, your person, and Jesus. You're going to give them the kingdom. You ready? 5 seconds, sincere, go. Pray right now. Okay, I gave you a bunch of extra because I was drinking, but just wind your prayer down. Wind your prayer down in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Thank you so much, Lord. God, you're good. Thank God for loving you right now. Just believe he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. The people that were prayed for, I need you to check your bodies, please. Check your bodies. Be sincere. Check your bodies. I don't want exaggeration. Check your bodies. He likes it when we all stand up and get involved, I promise you. Okay, if you know your body's changed, I need to let me know at some point. Let me know when you know you're healed. That's when I need to know, when you find out, but make sure you know. Check your bodies for me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Check your bodies. Is there anybody you know you're healed right now? Somebody should be finding out by now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Anybody know they're healed right now? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Just giving you time. Let me ask you this question. This is rare that I never see anybody just healed right out of the gate. Usually there's a handful. But let me ask you this. Who knows that something changed? You're somewhat healed. Okay, so that's where we're at. That's good. Let me see your hands real high. Something definitely changed. You're just not 100%. That's why you didn't acknowledge. Okay? Okay, let's do this. So the rest of you, I don't know how many there are, but the rest of you, nothing changed yet. So here's what I want you to do. Your person's right there. You're not getting a new person. Keeping your person. Don't change your prayer. No, God will teach us tonight. Let's just flow with this. Pray the same 5-second faith over your person right now, and let's see what happens in the room. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. It's a good thing a lot of people that felt somewhat changed. It's a whole bunch. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. You can wrap that up in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Check them out. Check them out now. Does anybody get all the way there? Who says that, man, this thing is gone. I can't find it anymore. It's going. Even if it was somebody that had nothing changed the first time. So the people that had changed still feel the same. Did anybody get better yet? There's always something to learn when you're praying for the sick. This is all good. Like none of this, I'm not under pressure by this. I'm not like looking for a whole bunch of hands so we can all go, woo. We want to learn what faith looks like in our life and stepping out and believing. Are you hearing me? Anybody get all the way healed that time? Anybody's body changed completely? Okay. So let me see the people that know something changed when we prayed. It got somewhat better. And you know that for sure. Okay, did anybody that time, did you just kind of stay the same the second time, or did somebody get even better yet? Just kind of stayed the same? Yeah? Let me see the hands of people that nothing changed yet in your body. It just seems the same. Okay. So we actually got a few more that things actually changed. Now, don't take this personal. This isn't personal. So me as a minister, I've never been in a church where we didn't see some people instantly healed the first time, like healed, like, wow, I'm healed. That's not a slam on you guys. Watch. We're learning what faith looks like. So we got a bunch of people that are saying it's actually more than nothing happened. There's a bunch of people saying, you know what? I'm somewhat better. Well, that's not happenstance. That's not psychological. That's not because we're hyping the atmosphere. That's not because we're prying an answer out of you. That's because there's simple faith and people praying for people. Sincerely, things start changing. Are you following me? So you can't let faith change. So we prayed the second time and we're asking and people are like, no, but it's better. And then we got a handful of people that didn't get changed. Let me ask you this. Does that change scripture, faith, the finished work of Jesus, or what we're called to believe as believers? Never. So actually, I embrace this kind of stuff. I'm like, God, I always want to learn. I always want to grow. Wonder if there's a statement here, and he's saying, guys, I want you to step out, go for this, believe, and never look back, and just keep on believing. No matter what you come up against, what you see, what you experience, never change what you believe. I wonder if that's a strong lesson right there. Are you all with me? Can you buy that and agree with that and say, okay, I'm going all in for that? So now as I'm saying that, this is what I'm hearing in my heart one more time, and bear with me and be patient with me because I follow my impressions. I feel like we need to just pray 5 more seconds since we got that little lesson and we're all saying, yep, we're in. Because I can tell you guys that were like, yep, and me are very sincere. And you're like, no matter what. So we could go home now and you're like, yep. But let's just pray, because I have an idea we're not done yet seeing what God's about to do. Especially the people that saw nothing change yet. I feel like this time around, a couple of people that didn't change at all are going to actually just change. Is your person still here? Pray with your person one more time. 5 seconds. Please bear with me. Let's just believe one more time. It's faith. We just believe. Thanks, God. You people. Jesus' name. That's good. That's good. Now, thank God that he loves you, and just check your bodies for me. Check your bodies. Yeah. Thank you, God. What's going on? What are we finding out now? Is there anybody that hadn't changed at all that changed that time something changed? That didn't? Yeah, right there. Good. There's another one. Good. No, this is good. You didn't change at all, but you know you changed that time for sure. I mean, we can't bear witness to that, but you know that, right? For sure. I can tell. And you did too, son? Yeah? Anybody else that didn't change at all those first two times, but this time they got some increase? Because that's just super encouraging to me. Like, it just shows you that what you believe is what matters. And if we let results decide what we believe, then we're not letting Jesus' life and word decide what we believe. So all of a sudden, we're just real. It's just so practical. And it's so if my mom dies, I guess he doesn't always heal. Come on, I don't want to sell that cheap. I'm going to grow in such a faith that I lay my hands on my mama and I see her change. We all know it doesn't matter what denomination you are. If Jesus came in a room and touched somebody, they're getting healed. And he lives in us. 3 months after my mama died, I watched a mama in a service get completely healed of the same disease that killed my mama. And I had never really seen it healed but twice at a lower level than what she had. And I saw a lady that didn't move her body or walk for 5 years get completely healed in a service. Why? Won't change my mind. I'm not letting the death of my mom change what I believe. Jesus' life is, he's the author and the finisher of my faith. I can't let the death of mom slip in the middle. He authors and he finishes looking unto who? Not the death of my mother, looking unto, you get it? Is there anybody that would tell me without exaggerating, and I'm not looking for this, we don't have to have this, I'm just asking, anybody in my first group that was somewhat changed, get more changed or get all the way changed? Do we have anybody that got all the way changed? All that time you got all the way changed? Yeah, 3 of you? That's amazing. So that was our third prayer. Nobody was all the way changed. There was several people that didn't change at all, and the last time changed somewhat. They're being honest and sincere. I have to believe that. You changed all the way that time? You did and you did. Anybody else? See, guys, this is exciting to me. I'm telling you, I do this all the time. This is convicting me and it's encouraging me. I believe God is telling this room, don't you ever change what you believe. You lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Are you following me? We just prayed 3 times sincerely in this room, a total of 15 seconds, give or take a few seconds. And we saw people say they know they're better. Then we saw 3 people say, wow, now I'm all the way better. We saw 2 people that didn't change at all say, wow, now I'm somewhat better. Why? Because we let faith stay the same. So what's the only Christian response concerning healing? Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life, in my body. Thanks for being so good. Period. Are you all with me? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this stuff. See, because honestly, you might not understand this. I do this all the time. If 15 people the first time we prayed would have said, whoa, wow, and it just seems so beautiful and so great, and I would have took that. But then you know what happens when you go out and pray and somebody doesn't change? Man, I wonder what we're doing wrong. Man, it was so easy that night. I wonder if it's because Dan was there. And you got all these other things you can start thinking. I'll tell you what, tonight, that's a pretty awesome lesson. Don't stop. Don't change. Keep believing. God's doing something. I can live with that. Are you with me? So, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We just thank you for the things you're teaching us. You're such a good teacher. And, God, we just give you glory. Thank you for the healings in this room. I thank you that even tonight, and I declare this, I'm taking liberty to declare this, that bodies keep on changing. The pain continues to leave. The bodies are continually made whole. Lord, we laid hands on the sick, and you said they shall recover. We thank you for wholeness. We thank you for healing. We thank you for convicting our lives to live in truth. And we just thank you tonight. We just feel a little more empowered, a little more equipped, and a little more focused than before. Thank you for fathering us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. You want to close or...